Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong. We are waiting for Apostle Miller. And I'm not sure if Apostle McIntyre will be back in time. She has to be about her father's business. One of her members was in the hospital, and she had to go. And to the hospital, she got a call. Well, she called me about a half hour or so ago, saying that she might not make it today. And again, this is Apostle Armstrong for your Friday 6:30, Keeping It Real, the Three Apostles. We ask that you tune in and be blessed. But we talk about contemporary, current events that is taking place in the world and how we should be looking at them. We who are believers, how we can look past that which we see. We put on our spiritual goggles or glasses, whatever you want to call them, or lens, and we are able to see beyond that which we can experience through our five senses. And as a result of that, we have been able to find peace in the midst of chaos, peace in the midst of trouble. We've been able to find a quiet place, and portion of that because we pray for everyone, and we don't pray that everyone keep doing evil things either. We pray for everyone and asking the Creator to send His Holy Spirit and convict them if they are not doing things, if they're fruits. We look at people's fruits. If their fruits doesn't line up with the Word, what the Word said, at least the Word as we read it and we interpret it. And I say it that way because there's a lot of false teaching going on and within these denominations, within these churches. One second. And we ask God to touch their hearts and change their heart so that they can do things the way according to His will, not their will. And if they harden their heart, you know, like Pharaoh did, he hardened his heart, and we ask them to move them, just remove them for they. Now, as we wait for Apostle McIntyre, Apostle Miller, rather, that's sort of how this topic was put in my spirit today. And the topic for today is, who stole my life? Or did I freely give it up? Who stole my life? Or did I freely give it up? And I would introduce that from the world perspective, and then I would introduce it from the spiritual perspective. As we wait for Apostle Miller, let us pray. Almighty Everlasting Creator, we call on you now so that the words that I speak that comes out of my mouth will glorify you. And we'll have the power and authority that you gave your Son to give to us and it may bring comfort to the people. It may bring healing to the people. It may bring understanding to the people, to the hearers. And I just ask that you send your Holy Spirit there and touch them and lead them into all truth. And Almighty God, as I stated earlier, that there are people who are speaking half-truths in the church. And we are a church without walls. And therefore, we want the words that come out of our mouth to be for your glory and be speaking the truth on this Crown Talking Drum and on that radio station. So now let's move on as we wait on Apostle Miller. Again, who stole my life? Let's just deal with that part first. Who stole my life? And whenever I thought about it after this came to me, and I thought about it, and then later on I went online and put it in, and there was books, and there was a female artist that has a book, and I have Who Stole My Bible and all that. But didn't see it the way that the Holy Spirit has given to me. Who stole my life? And whenever I think back, and I think what happened in the church I was in, and some of what I found to be false teaching, and I looked out there and I saw how those false teaching has stole my wealth, my ability to accumulate wealth. With that, well, don't worry about anything while you're here on this earth. Oh, when you die and get to heaven, you're going to have everything. That's not scripture, but I believed it. I was a kid. And, you know, they went on and on with telling me the greater your suffering here on this earth, the greater your reward going to be when you get to heaven. And, you know, as I grow older, and then I saw what I saw in the community that was going on, that left an impression on me as well. I heard them talk about the scripture where it talks about the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the reason I said, is because we saw the devil. They had movies of the devil back then. The devil was in some red neotards, pitchfork, and horns. And I never saw anything like that. So I wasn't aware about the devil and him coming to steal, kill, or destroy, because I never seen anything like that. And I would have known that if a being would have showed up that looked like that. So therefore, I wasn't really that concerned. I see Apostle McIntyre, Apostle Miller has clicked on. Apostle Miller?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. And I was just going through the topic. The topic is, who stole my life? Or did I freely give it up? And that's what I added. And John 10:10 is the basis of the scripture that we will deal with, one of the scriptures that we will deal with. And what I was saying was that how life was stolen in terms of what I heard in the church and what I heard in the street. And one of the things I heard in the church, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is that the greater you suffer on the earth, the greater your reward going to be when you get to heaven. Well, my thing was, I didn't want to suffer. And if I got to go through this suffering bit, it ain't for me the way that I saw suffering take place in the community that I was living in. And that just wasn't something that I saw that I wanted to be a part of. And realizing that as I got older, that was when I was in latter years of elementary school and throughout high school. I heard of John 10:10, but as I was saying before, just before you clicked in, is that I wasn't really concerned about no devil, because the movies that I saw, the devil was a character that had a red neotard, pitchfork, and the tail and pointed horns. And if I saw something like that, I know to run. That was supposed to use to get my attention, but it just sort of backfired in my case. And Jesus said that the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, this is a part here that I didn't relate to. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, first part of it is what the stealing part. He stole mine. And then the latter part of the topic today, or did I freely give it up? Well, technically, whenever I look back at it now, he didn't have to steal it. I gave it up because I did not follow the teaching of the Messiah. And if I would have done that, I wouldn't have had to go through some of the things, some of the changes that I was going through. And that means I was the one that gave my life up. And nobody stole it. It wasn't stolen by the devil. I gave it to the devil. And as a result of that, that's how I lost. And there's no point in my talking about crying and complaining now about the life, the years that I lost. Yes, I lost years by running after things of the world and all through high school and through college. And it wasn't until after I was married. That might have been a couple of years, 2 or 3 years after I was married, that I came into understanding. It was maybe 5 years. My wife told me that I told her we need to take the kids to church. She needed to take the kids to church. And she said, nope. If you want them to go to church, you can go with us. So I started going to church, but even then I sat in the pews, and I still gave my life up to the devil. He was stealing and all of that. And see, when we look at it from that point of view, how we gave up, or what do you give up, you think about it and think about what you could have had, the joy, the peace that you could have had during all that time that you missed out on. I missed out on some of my years, some of my life. I missed out on the abundant life. Jesus said he come that they may have life. And if I paraphrase this, he said, I come that you really might have life and I might have it more abundantly. And I thought we had abundant living, but we had material objects, the cars, the Volkswagen bus and all that, and we had good jobs. But whenever I look back at it, and I said, now, where would I have been? Oh, and there was some stress with the with the vehicles, because I bought one. We had a 71 Volvo back then that was in 72 probably, 73. And then I worked for the district government, and I was supposed to get a raise. And I bought a Volkswagen bus anticipating on the raise, and the raise didn't come. And it was stressful. We did not need two vehicles. And if I would have thought about that and been a better steward of our finances, because my wife wasn't working, therefore, we wouldn't have been under the stress. Oh, what did I give up? I gave up peace. We gave up peace. We gave up some joy. And we gave up some happiness. And that's what we're talking about here. Most of the time we think about stealing, somebody stealing something, we think about material things. But those things that you cannot buy joy, you cannot buy happiness. And if prolonged stress will have a negative impact on your health, you can't buy health. And we were fortunate that it did not affect our marital relationship. And we worked together and pulled it out. So that's what I'm looking at whenever that topic came to me and I had time to sit down and look at it and do the little research on it. Who stole my life? Nobody. I freely gave it up by the decision that we made. And I can go on and on other examples. And we see that we are our worst enemy at times. We are the enemy. If we change that and then so the enemy in here and ask, who's our enemy? As a pastor, Apostle Miller is going to talk about it in a minute. We need to be clear. In my situation, I was the enemy because I gave it up freely by not thinking things through, by sitting there. I knew what the history of the district government budget was. The Congress had to approve it, and it take months. But yet, I went out and bought that Volkswagen bus, which we didn't need. And that produces some stress and took away some joy and all that good stuff. So the devil didn't do it. Apostle Miller?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is Apostle McIntyre on this evening?
No, Apostle McIntyre called me a little while ago saying that she had to go. One of her members was in the hospital. And I told her she's about her father's business. So don't worry. Don't be stressed because she's doing what the Holy Spirit and what the Creator wants her to do, provide comfort to her members.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, then. Good evening to those on the air that have tuned in. So glad you did. And we trust that God will bring some enlightenment and some understanding to you. In First John, the second chapter, in that 15 and 16 verse, it said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so, there too, again, when we're talking about, you know, who are your enemy, and what brought that about, you know, most of this week, I spent a lot of time with my brother and my sister-in-law. And, you know, as they were sitting there watching the news and seeing all the murders and all the fights and things going to the Lord brought that, that thought came to me, you know, who are your enemy? You know, because right now the enemy have people fighting against one another, you know, and they don't realize the root cause. One of the scriptures you even mentioned, Apostle, was John 10:10, where Jesus said, the thief come only but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then you go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, when Apostle Paul was telling the people, when he said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he said, for we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood, but with principality, ruler, daughter, spirit of weakness in high places. And there, and there too, again, when you look at it, the enemy will have us to believe that we want another enemy. But the enemy can't, because we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Well, we can be influenced by the Spirit of God, and we can be influenced by the enemy. You know,
right.
And the thing was, a lot of these that fight one another, they don't realize it's more to us than what you see in the physical realm. It's more to us. And just like God is a spirit, Satan is a spirit. But in order for each one of them to do any, to do anything, it, they have to have a body. And so that's how God, that's why Jesus had to come on the scene. Because in order for God to deliver man, he needed a body. No spirit. It's illegal for a spirit just to show up in itself. You have to have a body. And a lot of times, as I say, when it comes down to who are your enemy, the Lord really would talk about why a lot of people don't realize these are spirits that influencing people to fight against one another. It's about the race. It's about the money. It's about this and all of that. Where it ties in with 1 John 2, he said, love not the world. You got people fighting about all kind of things, but when it comes down to strife and division, in Ephesians, Paul said, he said, neither give place to the devil. And a lot of times, when you read, when I read the epistle of Apostle Paul is constantly revealing to us when on the spiritual side that these are spiritual beings, invisible beings, that at the root cause of all of this evil, this division, and all of this strife, hatred, and bitterness, you know. But what that the way the enemy does it, he keep it, you know, I'll say low key, he hides himself through us, and he used us. Well, you know, Jesus said, if any man going to follow after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. The enemy, his interest, when we get our mind off the Lord. Apostle Paul even said to the Colossian church, he said, set your affliction on things above. Then Paul came along and Romans said, neither, he said, never make provision for the flesh. And that's how the enemy, when we take our eyes off of what God's words say and start focusing on the natural so much. Now, you know, you got to know how to bring balance with it. You know, God don't mean for me to be going around all day, you know, speaking in tongues and public and doing. No, but you have to keep balance there, because my spirit is to relate to things in the spirit realm. And my flesh is to relate to things in the natural. But it, with both of them, you have to keep balance there. But like I said, when we were talking about knowing your enemy, you know, parents looking at their children, some of them, you know, and they rebellious, they disobedient. Then you looking at some of them, they doing, you know, killing among themselves, even with marriage and all what's happening in the White House and all of that. You know, if people come to the realization and find out who is the root, who at the root of all of this, who at the root of all of this evil, even this bitterness and all of that, this murder. And all, if people come to the realization that, no, it's the enemy. The Bible says Satan, the god of this world. Well, it will cause you to turn your focus. Okay, this is an enemy. Now, is Satan doing all of this? But how do we shut the door to it? When Paul said neither give place to the devil, that let me know, if he said need to give place to the devil, that let me know that I can shut the door. I don't have to give
That's
space
right.
to him.
And so right.
I think a lot of times when I was listening to you with your testimony in the beginning, when I came, you know, when I came into, when I got about 15 to 16 years old, yeah, I went to church, but I thought about heaven and hell. I didn't think about even thinking about hell, I didn't think about the devil. I didn't know nothing about what his part was. All the part I know, you know, he had a place, and it was hell, and God was over heaven, you know.
Uh-huh.
But then when I got saved, I began to come into the knowledge and the understanding that Satan was responsible for all this evil, because Paul said that if the gospel be hidden, he's hidden to those that are lost. Because Satan, the god of this world, done blind their mind. So I had,
yes.
as God opened my eyes up, he began to let me see in Ephesians, the second chapter, it tell me how I once, before I got saved, I was children of disobedience. I yield my members, you know, to the evil one. And it began, I began mm-hmm. to say, you mean to tell me I have a choice in this matter? I can either yield myself to the Spirit of God, or I can yield myself to the devil. Well, when that question came up, I said, well, okay, God, how do I know when it's you, and how do I know when it's the devil, when I know it's me? And as I begin to study the word, and I tell you, for me, when my eyes came open to see how the enemy can influence people to do evil and cause them to be depressed, oppressed, stressed out, you know, it began
mm-hmm.
to let me see, you mean to tell me that, and I was having, you know, voices and different thoughts, and I begin to find out, now, all the thoughts you have, and the Holy Spirit began to show me, he said, all the thoughts you have, they not always your thoughts. Sometimes
That's
they're
right.
God thoughts, sometimes they're the devil thoughts, sometimes your thoughts. And then I said, well,
mm-hmm.
how do I know which one is which? And as I begin to read the word, you know, we talk about God is good, and I agree with that. But you really don't know and truly don't understand and know the depths of his goodness as well as his love if you don't know what the word say about it. And as
Amen.
I begin to read the Bible began to show me that you know, What when we say God is good, when I read St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Well, in the beginning, you know, being ignorant, didn't have no spirit to enlightenment, it said he loved the world. I said, oh, the trees and the houses and all that. You know, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that. And the Holy Spirit, he said the peoples, it ain't just come out the things on the earth. And he come out in people's hands. And that's what God began to show me. He loved all mankind, not just black, not just white, not just Cuba, whatever. He loved all race of people. And he was the creator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, wait a minute. And I mean, as he began to, my spirit's eyes began to come open, and I began to see where the evil was coming from. And then I said, well, God, why you allow all this stuff to happen? Then the Lord began to, thank God for the Holy Spirit, he began to show me through the word and let me know whosoever will let him come. He took me in Genesis, the first chapter, and began to show me about Adam and Eve and the choices they made. He began to show me that I had a will, and he began to show me I'm sorry, I can do anything I want to. He said, but I limit myself to mankind will. He said, you have a will. So a lot of these questions I had about this, why this happened, or why won't God do this, and why God doing this and killing people. And then John 10 let me know Satan is the one doing the killing. And then
That's
God
right.
also would let me know, he also would let me know we can choose to yield to him, as I said before, either to God. So there too, again, as I said when I ministered yesterday on the broadcast, who is your enemy? When we look at, going back, when we look at all this killing, all of the, you know, the murder, how these young folks, killing one another, killing their parents, people going in these certain areas and doing all these massive killing and all of that. That's from the evil side. That's not God. But guess what?
That's right.
If you ignorant, Paul even said that God would not have us to be ignorant of saving the body. Now, a lot of people have told me, you don't need to talk about the devil. The point is, when I'm talking about it, I'm exposing the enemy for who he really are.
That's right.
And I think he was in the military, and my two children were, and my son, when he had to go to Afghanistan, and my daughter, the Desert Storm, my son let me know before they got ready, the training he had to go through before he went to Afghanistan, and he said, Mama, they took all the branches. He said the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, and all of them. He said all of us hooked up together. And, Mama, all of us had to go through the same basic training. That's not
training,
he said
yeah.
all of us had to go in the same training. And he said, Mama, they were teaching us how to recognize our enemy. And you have a lot of saints. Well, you don't need to talk about the devil. Listen,
you do.
Paul said it. Good. He said, God don't want us to be ignorant of saving the body. And according to what I done studied, what little did I do know, when I came into the knowledge and found out, according to Ephesians 6, that I'm not wrestling or my battle ain't with flesh and blood, it changed. It really changed what I thought about the color people's skin. When I found out the enemy can influence me, you, and anybody else, when I found out that God was a God, he was a good father, he was the creator, how he loved everybody. So that let me know right there, since God loved everybody, and if I love everybody, he tell me, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. And he said, when we keep his commandment, it tell us that we abide in the love of God. Then you go over there in first or second of John, it tell us that our faith, if I'm quoting it right, our faith working by love. And I'm saying, okay, now God. And that's when God began to, the Holy Spirit began to give me the pieces to the puzzle. The enemy knows that in order for our faith to be effective, that we can be able to do the miraculous, speak things into existence, our love got to be in total alignment, because we have the agape love shield aboard in our heart. We got to be in total alignment with what God's word says. So what the enemy does, what God showed me, he said, now, and if you ever observe all of your temptation, the way that he said, the enemy going to always first come to try to get you out of alignment with God. And he
That's
know
right.
bitterness, resentment, he know hatred, he know all of that. I'll cause you to come out of total alignment with God. He know that'll cause your faith not to be effective. So he shoots for that. He shoots for your relationship with God. He don't want you to have a relationship with God. And he know if he get in there and interfere with your faith, then your faith can't be effective. The Bible said the effective from the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So he's going to try to hinder your prayer from being answered. He wants you to discredit God. And I mean, when the Lord began, God, the Holy Spirit began to reveal this to me, it began to say, I don't have no reason to hate any race of people. Because a lot of, just like the Bible said in Hebrew, he said, we need to be careful how we entertain strangers, because some of us now entertain angels unaware of it. Well, it work on the other side too. We need to be careful of what thoughts we yielding to. Because some of us, we have been influenced by the enemy. Yes, sir. So all of this, go back to what we said in the beginning. Who is our enemy? Do you know who your real enemy is? Do you know? The enemy might use a black person or white person to cause murder. But do you know it was the spirit that was influencing them to do what they did? And I believe, you know, even as a minister and dealt with, you know, some people that went to prison and even murder people. And I have had some of them to tell me, I don't know what came over me. All I know, I got mad with this individual, and all of a sudden I just wanted to destroy him. I just wanted to kill him. And then when and after they did the evil, that spirit, and I said, what's the spirit that was influencing? And they came to themselves, they began to say, why did I do that? Why would I do something like that? So there too, again, I really believe, for me, thank God, when I came into the realization that no, and you were saying about the horns and the tail, when as a kid, that's when my grandma and them told me the boogeyman, you know. But as I grew up and came into the knowledge, I began to find out that this devil, these demons, they invisible beings. And then when you read the four Gospels, Jesus was able to discern when the enemy had gotten somebody's heart. Remember, he told Judas. Jesus was able to discern what spirit was influencing people when he was talking to them. And I really believe when we come to the realization, especially as born-again believers, now as born-again believers, the Bible tells us in Luke, we have... God then gave us authority and power over the enemy. Mark 6, King chapter. It done told us. Well, we have authority. What is it? Psalms 150. God gave the herb to man. I mean, when we come into knowledge and realize, our enemy, number one enemy is Satan. But guess what? As born-again believers, he is subject to us.
Yes.
We have authority over these demons, you know, these principalities. He said, even with, you got demons even in these high places, you know, like in the government, you know, on some of these jobs and these high office. But it's spirits. And y'all, we're going to be influenced by the spirit of God, or either we're going to be influenced by the devil. And really, as I stated to me, when our eyes truly come open to that, I believe we can shut the door to a lot of bitterness and resentment. And the final thing, as the Lord revealed to me, I take classes from Apostle Jennifer LeClaire as a prophet. And she made mention, I think I shared last week as well, when you look at the body of Christ, when I hear some things and see some things, what the body of Christ are doing, she said the Lord told her that when you see all what's happening with the bridegroom, the division and all of that, to turn your eyes to the bridegroom. And you know, as he gave it to me, you know, here's some things. Yeah, we see some division. We see a lot of things happening in the body of Christ that is not the will of God. But that's when we got to turn our eyes on the bridegroom, who is Jesus. And that's why I said, because if you start really focusing, and I see why Paul said, set your affliction away. If you start really looking at all of the evil, what's happening on this earth, if you ain't careful, we'll catch away our confidence in God. We'll try to say, why won't God do this? Ignorant, knowing, don't realize. God told you what to do about it. He told us, rather. He told us what to do about it. You know, so there too, again, as I stated, that's what came up with God had me to talk yesterday about who is your enemy. And he will relate to all of this murder, all the stuff that we seeing on the, we need to know who at the root of this thing. And that's Satan. That is influencing people, and some of them don't have no idea. And some of them might say, oh, yeah, that might be the devil. But when the reality of that kick in, it's like, now, you know, God never intended for this to take place. Yes, sir, go ahead.
That's right. And see, whenever we think about this and look at the word in Luke 10:18-19, 18, 19 is clear. that word that God had given the His Son, the Messiah, who gave it to the disciples, the 12 men, who passed it down to us. That same power and authority exists in scripture as it did when it was first given. It says we have authority over demons, scorpions, and serpents.
Come on.
And whenever we don't exercise that power, that means we are given that authority to those demons, those serpents, and those scorpions. Then after after we don't do what we should do, then we cry out to God. And I can just see God, well, now I told y'all that you had authority. It passed down for thousands of years, hundreds of years. You should know. And then he said also, we have power over the enemy. Now, if think about it, Satan is running to and fro, seeing who he can devour, like a roaring lion. And so he said, like, L-I-K-E. He's not a roaring lion. His roar is what's frightening to people. And then, you know, he has to go to God to get permission. But if he scares you, you give up your power, and then he got you. And ain't no point of going crying to God afterwards, because we were given that authority. Go ahead.
And see, there too, again, that's why, first of all, you need to be able to identify your enemy. It's not good to shoot at something you don't know what you're shooting at.
That's
And see, that's the thing. The Word of God unfolds and reveals to us who our enemy is. How did he come? Even reveal his strategy to us. He tell it that in John 10. He come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But, okay, how he do it? He do it through people. He deceived them. Jesus said he the father of lies. You know, so-and-so don't like you. You know, you don't need to like so-and-so. And, you know, he have you thinking people saying things about you, and people ain't really saying it about you. He turned people against God. He got humanity against humanity. And that's why I said, when who is your enemy? Flesh and blood ain't my enemy. Now, that spirit that influencing them is my enemy.
Right.
I have authority over that spirit, but I don't have authority over their will. And just like the Lord said about a lot of, even with parents, especially as born-again believers, if you got children that walking in disobedience and rebellion, that allow themselves to be influenced by these evil forces. Well, according to Proverbs 11:21, it says, "The hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered." And I had to learn to pray this for my own children. Not only that, another one I want to get is in Isaiah. And y'all, we have God promised, and the Bible tells us that God is not going to go back on his word.
On his word.
The Bible tells us that. And in Isaiah 59, it tells us in that 21 verse, when that 20 verse, he was saying he our redeemer. But he said, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, my word which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." And as born-again believers, now don't get me wrong, you know, a lot of times he said, well, I just want God to bless my seed. When you dealing with, you got to know how to do warfare. And I learned when it come down, when you see an evil spirit is causing your child, even your spouse, to go act contrary to what is written, take authority over that spirit. Matthew 18 tell us, that's one of our weapons. He tell us, now listen, whatever you bind, and one translation said whatever you forbid, you can, and I have did it with my children as well as my grandchildren. I bind the spirit, you know, rebellious and disobedient. I come against the spirit of bitterness and resentment. I bind it. We have authority. And you know, I think, and that's what the Lord was showing me. We, as believers and parents that got children, y'all, we got to, as you said, we got to rise up and take authority over these spirits and stop trying to take authority over people. God ain't gave us no authority over nobody will. But we have,
that's
what Jesus did. When you go in the full gospel, Jesus would take authority over the spirit, the one with infirmity. He took authority over that spirit infirmity, that demon that was causing that man to do all that damage. Jesus took authority. He never took authority over nobody's will, but he took authority over those spirits that were causing them to act up, to go contrary. Even he took authority over the spirit that blinded the man, that caused somebody to be dumb. He would always, because Jesus knows, he was able to discern what spirit was operating in the individual. The Bible said many times, he knows their thoughts. And he would answer them before, you know, even before they were part of their lips to even talk about it. Where we as born-again believers, we need to know who is our enemy. Because I'm telling you, if the enemy can get me and you at all, and remember Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, how offenses going to cause many people. It was going to cause the many of the love of many to wax cold. Watch that spirit of offenses. And the enemy, that's a powerful weapon of that, no, a powerful tool that the enemy used in the body of Christ. So many saints, they used to get offended. Well, so-and-so did this. I ain't going to talk to them no more. I don't even want to go to their church. And I don't want to. Do you not know? The enemy is doing that because he after your faith and your relationship with God. He do not want you to know that offenses will interfere. It will hinder your faith. It will interfere with your relationship with God. That go again. That's why I said we need to know who our enemy is. Your real enemy is Satan. That's who you need to be fighting. That's who you need to be pleading the blood of Jesus against. Not one another. And as long as the what is there in Revelation, had accusing the brother. The devil comes accusing us before God. And guess what? He had put that same spirit on the saint. This one accusing of this. And this one, put, y'all, one can put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000 to flight. He don't want us to work together. Because if we, look at you, Apostle Armstrong, and Apostle McIntyre and myself, I would say, 10 years? We didn't know one another. But God brought us together. And people don't know a lot of time before we come on. We don't be not discuss what we're going to talk about sometimes. But God bring us together. And only God can do that. We can't do that. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do. And I'm telling you, as the saints' eyes come open to see Satan, the principality, the ruler of God, spirit of weakness in high places, the God, that's the real enemy. Your brother
Jesus
is not your enemy.
And I was just going to say, you're absolutely right. What came to me was a young man when I was in seminary, and he was walking around, strutting around, talking all that stuff. And I just got tired of hearing him. I walked up to him right square in his face and looked him in the eye, and I said, my God made your God. And that was it. He did not stop because he knew. See, that demon that's in him knew that I knew what I was talking about. And I didn't call the demon by name. I just spoke the word that was given
that was
to me. And that ended. And we became good friends. Mm-hmm. And he didn't act out anymore. He had a poor professor scared to even... He wouldn't teach the class. But, it's amazing how powerful the word is when it was given hundreds and thousands of years ago. And it's still just as powerful today as it was when it was first spoken.
Amen.
So
we
have to get into the word for ourselves. And once you're in the word for yourself, then you'll feel comfortable standing flat-footed and making statements like that. You feel comfortable speaking to the enemy And I have had to speak to the enemy from the continent, where the real strong enemy. And, you know, my whole thing was I did not feel frightened because I knew what the word said. The word told me I had authority over the demon, scorpion, and serpent, and power over the enemy. Now, what happened when about first I was stopped there at 19, but 20, if you go to 20, 20 is where Jesus admonished them and told them that you don't rejoice in, I'm paraphrasing, you don't rejoice in the fact that you were able to cast out demons and all that. You rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
And that's where your protection comes. Your protection is there. You did it because of you recognized the power, the source of the power was the Creator. And then the enemy, so you don't have any reason to be frightened. See, God, whenever he gave the word to his son, he put an art of protection. It's just like your computer or your smartphone. You can get a virus protector to put on your computer, on your smartphone, so if anybody attack or attempt to hack it, they can get to your data. So that's what God did, that he gave us that protection. And so we shouldn't be afraid to stand.
That's it.
Because if we don't stand, we are going to fall for anything. Because the enemy is going to put words in your mouth. He can put words in your mouth, in your heart. And you have to be, you have to know who, as you said, who is the enemy.
That's
and
right.
You have to be able to discern when it comes from you, when it comes from
That's
God,
right.
and when it comes
come
from
on,
the devil.
Come on, Apostle.
You made an appointment earlier that people said, don't talk about the devil. Well, my last church I was in there in Baltimore, one of the trustees pulled me to the side and said, I shouldn't use the word devil. And whenever I thought about it, my youngest son, said there was something evil in that building. I'm not even dealing with the body because the body is the people. So if something resided in that building that was evil, then it had to be brought in there by who? One of the members.
That's
a group
right.
of the
members. Enemy have to have a body. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
And
that's why
we,
if we...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sir. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And if we don't step up to the plate, see, God is not going to intervene in our lives unless we call on him or somebody called on him on our behalf. And,
that's
you know, a lot of us, we're going to blame God. Well, God, I don't know why you let this happen to me. You had the authority. Why didn't
that's
you use your authority? And
on,
if you were
on.
Weak,
that's, what he wanted to
that's whenever he becomes strong. But
that's
his
right.
word is not going to come back void. And I can testify to that.
And that's why I said, when I learned that, the Lord let me, when you start operating and using your authority, you giving place to me. You giving me the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You giving me permission to intervene in
mm-hmm.
your situation. That's why I said,
right.
It's nothing wrong with talking about what's happening. But don't sit around and just, they did this. Take authority over that spirit that's operating in them. That's just the devil operating in them young people. And Satan, this is the way God used to tell me, like I said, everybody got to let the Lord reveal things to them. But this is the way after Intercessor, when we used to be praying before I moved from Langston to where I'm at now, and we used to walk the street every morning at 6 o'clock. We did it for over 3 or 4 years. It's 7 days a week. And when we would get on certain streets, the Holy Spirit would speak to us and say, this spirit is operating here. Take authority over that spirit. And that's what we would do. And see, yeah, what you see them young people, and I seen it, you know, my brother, I said, that ain't nobody but Satan. I said, but I take authority over that spirit operating. I bind that murder spirit, that spirit of evil, that spirit of hatred and bitterness. I said, Satan, that's you operating in them too. But see, the enemy wants, he trying to get us to turn against one another. But if we owe mile with mile, and proclaim, devil, we know it's you operating in the man. And guess what? We don't hate them. We hate you. We bind you operating in so-and-so. We know you bring, you causing all of this confusion. When we open our mouth and begin to say that then we have all heaven bagging us up. All heaven going to bag us up. But if we sitting on the sideline, yeah, you know, them children just acting crazy, they killing one another, and they doing this. What is behind it? Deal with what's influencing them. You ain't going to get it to stop by just acknowledging what they doing. But when we open our mouth and begin to come against that spirit, that's the spirit, you know. It's
yeah.
The enemy, for he can inject thoughts, and that's why the Bible tell us, when it come down to our thoughts, that's why Paul said we need to cast down every imagination, every thought that exhorts itself above the knowledge of Christ, bringing those thoughts into captivity. Well, how we bring? You got to know what God say about it. We got to know what God say, and you just can't. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No. I was. Sometimes I think out loud. I'm sorry, because my thoughts now is that. Was that here? The enemy is trying to put the thought in my head. Well, God, why you take my wife? Why her? Well,
see
God,
that?
They're
that?
Talking about a pill coming out now. You know, why wasn't the pill out before now? So we have to understand and know
give
the origin.
Go against God. Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
Right.
And then
that's exactly
apostle,
what we're talking
you
about.
You don't know. To a certain degree, and you know, out of here, some people say it, and it might not go for you. Sometimes we don't know what they're saying to the Lord.
Right.
God's
right.
Gonna honor
I
their will. I found that out about my older sister. She needed a heart transplant, and 2 weeks before she died, they moved her from Pineville all the way to Charlotte. But anyway, I found out. Now she's telling me she waiting on a heart. Her and her husband had discussed, and she had told my husband she had a pacemaker. She told him she didn't want them to cut on her no more. She had told him she did not want the heart. And I found out even when my grandmother passed. So sometimes, y'all, that's why we don't have authority over nobody. We don't know what they be saying to God. We don't
that's
have
right.
I don't have certain one. But what the enemy do, he's trying to get you to accuse God. That's what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to accuse
him.
Why God? No. God going to honor your wife with you. As much as she loved it. You don't know the kind of conversation her and God had going on. Just like my baby mother. You don't have no, I don't think you do. Maybe she told you everything. I don't know. You know. But we don't
know. No, what she told me was
that
she told me she was tired.
See that?
And for a person that comes out of that walk with a walker out of the rehab, get in a car, drive home, and like I think that was on a Thursday, it was either Thursday or Friday, that Saturday she didn't get out of bed all day. Sunday she didn't know how to walk. Now, she had told me before, a couple of weeks before, that she was tired. And I asked her that she wants to be in a home and or she wants to be at the house. And she said at the house. She wasn't talking, but, you know, verbally.
Yes,
and
sir.
She said she wanted to be at the house. And she was just tired, and she just gave up. She stopped eating and drinking, and we had a hospice bed, and she died in her bedroom. And she did not go through any changes. You know, they say that you can tell the death rattle and all that. I ain't hear nothing of that kind. And I prayed that God would comfort her and give her the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, and that was the end.
Yeah.
So you know, I was at peace, and a peace of shalom came across the whole, not only just the room, but the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
And
but see, like
it
I
was,
said, we don't.
Go ahead.
Like I said, when my grandmother passed, and I was mad at God, and I could hear my grandmother's voice, and she said, I told God to take me. She said, I just couldn't take no more. She had fled down a flight of stairs. She would start being sick, and that's when I was a child, as I can recall. My grandmama was never sick. And that's it. The Lord began to let me know that even when I would go pray for people, when they dealing with certain terminal disease, he said, ask them what they want, and God told me, because I'm going to honor their will. Now, I learned that. He said, y'all might sometimes, y'all want them to stay here, but they be want to come home and be with me. He said, I'm going to honor their will. And from that day to this day, whenever I'm doing, I ask him, I say, what the Lord saying to you? What you saying to the Lord? So don't have me here praying one thing, because I had a mother in the Lord to do that to me. Had me praying one thing, and she saying she was asking, she telling the Lord she ready to come home. I'm over here praying. And so I learned, that's something I do. I said, what the Lord saying to you? What you want me to come to the Greek? I said, now, if you want to go home and be with the Lord, I told my mom that. I said, now, if you ready to go home, I told my baby brother that last August before he passed. I said, I love you, bro, but if you want to go be with God, it's okay with me. It's much, the count of 10 to there, but it's much if I don't want you to go. But if that's what you want to do, it's okay. I told my mom the same thing. But they said, hearing the last thing go. I said, Mom, if you ready to go and you said you tired, okay, I see you on the other side. You know, but I learned that you don't know what people be saying to God, y'all. We don't know, and we'll just blame it on God. Well, God just took him. He needed a flower. He didn't need no flower. He got a lot of flowers.
Yep. Well, look, our time has expired.
Yes,
this went quite faster than I thought, because whenever it first was put in my spirit, who stole my life? I mean, I couldn't phantom a discussion, and that's whenever I found John 10:10, and the latter part is so important. Lots of times we just focus on the devil talk, but Jesus said that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we need to be focusing on as well,
and that's right,
that abundant life. And one thing that he had told me, and I couldn't understand what I would be, well, I was told to do, reflect and meditate on Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I mean, it was sort of foreign. I couldn't make the connection. But we are supposed to be building the kingdom right here on this earth. We are kingdom citizens. And we should be righteous. To be in the kingdom, we have to be righteous. And realized that we have been called out of the world, and then he chose us to be members of his kingdom and to prepare the people to be kingdom resident.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, very interesting what God is doing in this time.
He is.
All right, would you like to pray us out?
Well, if you want me to, Apostle, we will.
All right, that way I pray us in and you can pray us out.
Father, in the name of Jesus, again, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that is here and the Holy Spirit that abide on the inside of each one of us that done receive Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, we pray for enlightenment based upon John 10:10. You say the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you will have life, have it more abundantly. In Ephesians 4, it said, neither give place to the devil. 1 Peter 5 chapter tell us our enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Father, I pray that you would give us more enlightenment. Open up our spiritual eyes that we would see according to Ephesians 6, where Apostle Paul said we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. I lift up mothers. I lift up parents. And I bind and take authority over that spirit of disobedience, that spirit of rebellious, that Antichrist spirit. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And Father, you said that the harvest truly are plentiful, but the labors are few. I pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth labor through people past, through our young people, to witness to them. I pray for the spirit of conviction to breathe on them. I pray, Father, you would bring people in their path that they would hear the good news. I even pray, God, that you would intervene in these situations in the matchless name of Jesus. Bring peace. Give comfort to the parents, to the husband and wife, whoever they may be. Even the ones that are dealing with in this hour in memorial, those that we even pray that you would bring comfort to them. But I come against the spirit of bitterness. Every resentment, that spirit of hatred, unforgiveness and offenses. Father, I pray that you would breathe on your people in the master's name of Jesus. Bring comfort. Help people to forgive, Father. Help them to see it is the evil one who is Satan is doing the stealing and this killing and this destroying. Yeah. It's not you, Father. And Father, help us as fivefold minister here. Help us to get the gospel, the good news, the message out that God is love. That Jesus paid a ransom, that we have authority, that we can fight and we can resist what the enemy is doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Shalom until next week.
Yes, sir.
Well, not shalom until next week. Shalom until eternity.